We have reason to celebrate, amen. Jesus is coming back. We have been going through a whole series of different lessons on what the Bible has to say, and today we're going to be looking on the word on Christ's return. Before we get into that, I just want to welcome our visitors who are with us today, and glad that you are here with us. Back in 1492, do you all remember that year? Yeah, just like yesterday, wasn't it? 1492, when Columbus discovered the Americas, the islands of the Caribbean, he lost his flagship, the Santa Maria. And so the crew took the lumber from that ship and built a fort at Cape Haitian, and Columbus left 39 men behind to man that fort, and he told them that he would be back, that he was going to come back with more men, more ships, more power, and that they would just need to hang on there while he was gone. And he made it. Ten months later, he came back with more ships, more men, but did not find a single survivor, for all of his men had died. And they suspect that there'd been a confrontation between the local natives, that they had been upset, and all of the sailors had been killed. Well, that's one story of I Shall Return. General MacArthur, Douglas MacArthur, promised to return to the Philippines. The Japanese invaded the Philippine Islands, and he had to escape with his family to safety, but one of the things he promised is that he would return. It took 3 years after bloody battles in the Philippines and around the Far East there, but he did make it in 3 years, and the people that knew him were so happy to have him come back. But the greatest promised return that is ever recorded is that what is recorded in the Bible. Jesus Christ has promised that he will return. He came as a suffering servant, and he has promised to come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? And there's not going to be any question about it when he comes back. He did come to serve. He came and gave his life on the cross at Calvary. But when he comes back, he's coming back in full power and authority of the Messiah as Lord and Master. Now, he's been gone for about how long? 2,000 years. My goodness, 2,000 years. How reliable is this promise of Jesus that he would return? 2,000 years have gone by. Do you sometimes find yourself doubting that promise? Or do you find people around you questioning his promises? What will happen when Jesus does return? And has he already kept that promise and he's been here and gone and left us behind, as one series of movies has suggested? What does the Bible say about the return of Jesus Christ? Now, we're just going to look at a few of the scriptures that talk about his return. But today, if you'll join me, we're going to be starting in the book of Hebrews. And some say, well, that's kind of a strange place to start at. But that's where we're going to start. Let me read some verses out of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24 through 28. This talks about what Jesus is doing right now and then what will happen as a result of this. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that he would offer himself often, as the high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the consummation of the ages, He has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of the many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him. That is what we're focusing in on the last verse there. He is coming back for those who eagerly await him. Before we go on, let's ask God's presence in here as we think about these scriptures of the promise of Christ's return. Thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you for the blessings of the day. For life itself we have been reminded about the significance of just being alive. It's a gift from your hand, your grace, your mercies. Thank you for the opportunity to worship together with the fellow believers, for those who are seeking your truth. Father, we thank you for the great redemption Jesus has paid for our sin in full. And because of that, we have nothing to fear when we put our trust in him. But Father, greater than that, Jesus has promised to return. We wait for that return. And Father, I pray that every one of us is ready, and not us alone, but that multitudes would join us in preparing for the return of Jesus, that we will all celebrate around the throne of heaven with you, with Jesus, forever. Father, lead us and guide us to understand better the significance of the promise of Jesus, what shall take a place according to your word at his return. And Father, I just pray that every heart, every life, every soul will be ready to celebrate Jesus and not run in fear, not run and try to hide. Thank you for Jesus, our Savior, and we pray in his name. Amen. The first point I want to deal with is that the Bible repeatedly confirms that Jesus will return. This is not a once in a while mention, but this is a promise that Jesus Christ will return. It's mentioned over and over again, restated in various ways. Our main text says that he is not coming to die again. He died once for all sin, for all time, but he's coming the next time to save us, to finish the process of taking us from this sin-filled world into the perfection that God has prepared for us. Jesus told the disciples at one point, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And so we're looking for that place. We're hoping for that place that Jesus has been preparing. I like to think about it, you know, Jesus and God the Father created this whole world in how many days? In 6 days. He took a day of rest. If he could create this creation in 6 days, what's he been doing for 2,000 years? What glorious place is this going to be that he is preparing for all who would walk with him in this pastime? Of course, God is not controlled by time, not controlled by a clock, or as most of us are. But just to think, he is preparing an eternal home for all of those who have trusted in him. The next trip that he comes is to reward the saints. And I trust that each of you want to be one of those saints. Jesus must return to keep his promises as the Son of God. He would not truly be the Savior if he fails to keep this promise of returning. And so we are looking forward to the return of Christ. It will be the final fulfillment of all of his promises. Do you realize that 1/5 of your New Testament is talking about the return of Christ? That's 20% of your New Testament. So if Jesus doesn't come, there's a lot of lies there. But the promise is that Jesus is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so he's going to fulfill all that 20% of your New Testament with this one event. That's pretty significant. We look forward to his return. The return of Christ will prove that the Bible truly is God's truth. All of those who have put their faith and trust in the Scriptures will be rewarded. We will see the final outcome of God's promises. For those who have rejected the Bible, it will be too late. And that is unfortunate. We need to do all we can to convince the people around us to share the gospel, the love of God, the promises of God, so that they will not miss out. Because once Jesus comes, the Scripture says that's it. There's no second chances, no redos, no pleas, Mother may I, or anything else. It's the end. So we need to prepare people now. All of the other prophecies of Scripture have been fulfilled regarding the future coming of the Messiah, the Savior. Jesus fulfilled all of that, the promises, the writings of Isaiah, and so much more. Now we just look for that final fulfillment of the return of Jesus Christ in power and majesty, the return of our Savior with all of the surrounding events that accompany the final days, the final hour. Each chapter of the book of 1 Thessalonians ends with statements regarding the return of Jesus Christ. The church of Thessalonica believed in the return of Christ. If you erase the promises, the statements about Jesus coming again out of the book of 1 Thessalonians, you pretty much erased most of the book. First Thessalonians is about the second coming of Jesus Christ, coming in power and the final judgment. Other promises that we see in the Scripture of his return include, if you remember at the trial of before the Sanhedrin, Jesus talked that he is the Messiah, that he will be coming in power and glory. And that really upset the priests. If you go back and read the text, they were just ready to pull their hair out. And some of them did. They ripped their robes because they were so angry about what Jesus was saying. As Jesus prepared his disciples at the Last Supper, he was telling them he would come again. John 14, verse 3. His message to John at Patmos. The book of Revelation. What is the book of Revelation about? Well, it's about how God is going to act throughout all time. And finally, Jesus is coming back to end this mess of a world that we live in. The angels assured the apostles as Jesus floated up into the heavens. Two angels came to the apostles and they said, "Why are you staring at the sky? Jesus will come back in the clouds. Just as you just saw him leave, he's coming back again. Get down to Jerusalem. Do what you're supposed to do." That's David Rohrabaugh translation, okay? Shake a leg. Get with it. Move. Paul's teaching on the Lord's Supper, what we just shared in, includes remember Jesus until when? Until he comes again. We are to continue to take the Lord's Supper until Jesus comes. Over and over and over again, the Scriptures tell us that Jesus is coming back, not to walk as a humble servant, but he's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The sad thing is that many people will be unprepared for the return of Christ. Just as humanity did not welcome Jesus when he came the first time as the suffering servant, the majority of humanity is going to reject the idea that God would take time to come to this earth, that there is no God, After all, us people are so smart and intelligent, right? We know how to take care of ourselves. Why do we need a God? Most people think. The sad thing is, we don't know how to take care of ourselves. We just keep going in circles, in corruption. Things get worse and worse and worse. And we think, well, we'll just fix it with the United Nations. We'll have world peace. How are we doing so far? Failing horribly, aren't we? Well, we'll just turn it over to our government. Government will fix it, right? Wrong. Well, I'll take care of it myself. How well are you going to do on that one? It's not going to work, is it? God says we need Him. We need a Redeemer. We need a Savior. And Jesus has come. He's proven that He is the Redeemer by coming, conquering the grave. And He says He's coming back to finally take all those who put their trust in Him, to take them to His new home that He has prepared, where righteousness dwells. And most people are still rejecting that message. Many people base their belief on their personal experiences. Sally and I lived in the Show Me State. Why is it called the Show Me State? Because it relates how most people think. I won't believe it until you show me. Prove it to me. I want to see it with my own eyes. The Apostle Peter talks about this attitude. Even in the first century, there were people like this. The Apostle Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 7, "Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of His coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by His word, the present heavens and the earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men." Is there a global warning? Yeah, there's a little bit of... That's debatable. There is going to be global warming, though, when Jesus comes back. Scripture says He's going to burn it all up. Oof! Yeah, you want to wait for that day before you finally decide? Be too late. God tells us that just look at the past. Look at the history. The Apostle Peter refers to the flood. How many people believe in the worldwide flood recorded in Genesis? Very few. Very few. Mainly people in church. And unfortunately, a lot of churches don't even believe it in their church. And yet we have the evidence all around us. It's all around us. We have this great big thing called the Grand Canyon. They try to tell us, oh, that happened over millions and millions of years. No. One event, the flood. I've got all kinds of documentary stuff by professionals, PhDs and stuff in my office that talk about the evidence that surrounds us, the coal beds, the oil fields. All of these things were created in one massive, huge event. What event was that? Noah's flood. And God records it for us in the Scripture. And Peter says, people aren't even paying attention to it. And it's still the same today. Oh no, this world was not created by a God. Some aliens came from somewhere else and planted life here. Or we came from muck and we just accidentally turned into humanity. Craziness. The evidence is not there. The evidence is clearly pointing to a Creator God who put it all together. Look at the evidence around you and put your faith in the God who has warned us. A day of judgment is coming, and we need to be ready. People might delay their preparations, waiting for a more convenient time, or I need to think through this a little bit longer. Give me some time. I want to think. It's just not the right time to make the decision. I've got things in my life that I want to do. Jesus told a parable about a slave who did not prepare himself. He did not wait in readiness, and he lost out. Who is Jesus talking to? He's talking to us. Don't wait too long. You'll miss the open door. Some people change the meaning of the Lord's promises. You'll hear people describe, oh, it was just so perfect. It was so beautiful. It was like heaven on earth. Or I had so many problems. It was the worst time in my life. It was like hell on earth. And they say that it's all just relative language, that God didn't really prepare a heaven, that God didn't really prepare a hell. It's just all figurative language. Sorry, friends. When the King of creation says there's a real heaven and a real hell, you better listen. You better listen. When a man goes to the grave after a horrible torture and rises again from the grave and says, get ready, I'm coming back, you better listen. Some people claim that Jesus already came in our past. He snuck into the world and took his secret followers. No, it doesn't match what Jesus has to say about his second coming. One group even claims that Jesus returned back in 1914. How would they write it if they disappeared? I haven't quite figured that one out yet. Anyway, many people worship other forms of saviors. Do you remember the stories of Jim Jones, David Koresh, and many other people in this world? People follow these different individuals, their Messiah, their Savior, and yet their Saviors all end up, what? Dead, waiting for the real return of the Messiah. The third point of this message is, let's look at some of the signs. Jesus listed several signs that will occur with his return. Scripture tells us that Jesus will appear to the entire world immediately. The entire world will see him instantly. Some people have speculated, well, he must be appearing on television or something like that. No, he doesn't need television. He supersedes all the powers of this world. He doesn't need our telephones or our televisions to appear to all humanity. He will appear, and all will see him, just as lightning flashes from the east to the west. The scripture says his appearance will be across the spectrum. If he created the entire universe, that means he's bigger than the universe. So you're going to see him. Trust me. Don't trust me. Trust the scriptures. Trust the scriptures. God said it. Another factor is that Jesus will come through on the clouds. He's coming on the clouds, just as he floated into the clouds from the sight of the apostles there after his resurrection. He has promised to return in the clouds. So here's another one of those things in Scripture. Whenever you see a rainbow, what are you supposed to remember? That God won't flood the entire earth again. That's the promise about the flood, the reminder of the flood. Anytime you see a cloud, what should you remember? Jesus is coming back. The clouds are to remind us that Jesus is what? I'm glad some of you are still awake. He's coming back. And if you don't see a cloud in the sky, don't worry, he can make them. He can make them. Scripture says he's going to roll the heavens back like a scroll. Every eye will see him. And he will be coming in the clouds of heaven, in a sense, floating on the clouds of heaven, riding on the clouds. If you don't see a cloud, be ready. It might start appearing. And if you see one coming up pretty quick, watch out. The archangel of God will be shouting so that all humanity will hear. I wanted to shout, but I didn't want to scare everybody with the microphone. It's going to be getting everybody's attention. It's not going to be a secret return. It's going to be very well announced by the shout of the archangel. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And not only that, but we are also told that the sound of God's trumpet will be blaring into the sound of the sky. The blasting louder and louder, just like it did at Mount Sinai when the nation of Israel was at the base of the mountain and God came down on it. It says that the trumpet of God was blowing louder and louder and louder, and it scared the people to pieces. They said, Moses, you go talk to God. It's too scary talking to God face to face. You go talk to him. It's not going to be a secret. Right? Right. He's coming and everybody will know it. All who have died will be raised from the grave. You will see the transformation of the dead receiving a body floating into the sky. It won't be a peaceful, quiet day. And also we are told that while we're watching the dead come from the graves, what's going to happen to us? We are told that we will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We will take on the form of our risen Savior and float to meet Jesus in the air. The return of Christ will not be a secret return. All of humanity and the entire population of the entire world will be influenced when Jesus comes back. According to the book of Revelation, this earth and all the heavens will flee away from the presence of Jesus. It won't be secret. The last point I want to bring out in this message is that God expects everyone to be prepared for Christ's return. That's why we have the scriptures. God loves humanity. He doesn't want anybody to miss out. He doesn't want any people group to miss out. That's why we are sent on the mission. We talked about this last week. What is our purpose? To take the message of Jesus Christ into all the world, so that all people have the opportunity to come to Christ and receive the eternal life that he has prepared for them. Jesus assures us that it is going to happen. His return is definite. We need to treat it like it's already here today. In the next second, we could just leave. Some of you want to leave right now. Wait just a few more moments. The disciples tried to find out when it would all occur. And what was Jesus' response to them? Only the Father knows. You be ready. Only the Father knows the timing. He knows when the final soul will come to belief in Jesus Christ. And we must trust that God has it all under control. Does God have it under control? Always does, always has, always will. So we need to put our full trust in God that the right time, Jesus will come back and he will give those who are his children eternal life in the blessings of the new home that he's preparing for us. Those who are condemned will be cast into the lake of fire with Satan, with all the angels of evil, the demons, powers of darkness, and they will suffer there for eternity. Put your full faith and obedience in Jesus Christ. If you haven't done that, don't delay any longer. Jesus wants you now. He wants to bless you now. He wants to help you now. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You're not going to have everlasting life. You're not going to have a chance of it if you reject, if you delay, if you ignore Jesus. Jesus calls all of his followers to die to themselves. We are to live for him, totally committed to the service of Jesus as Christians, as followers of Christ. We are to live different from non-believers. The scripture talks about this. It's a change of our life. The book of Titus, chapter 2, talks about we need to be separate from the world. We still live in the world, but we have to live a life that's different from the world, or we will be destroyed with the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and following tells us, warns us, don't love the world or the things of the world. For the world is doing what? It's passing away. It won't last. We need to put our faith and trust in Jesus, in God, who are eternal. The Christian life is one of holiness. The word holy means separate, set apart, different. And what are we to be set apart to? Jesus Christ, his teachings, the teachings of Christ, teachings of God, being dedicated to them. And the scripture talks about we are to be without spot, without wrinkle. It's talking about our characteristics, our commitment, and our morality, all of those various things. The scripture addresses them. That life of holiness includes the following good traits. And I gave you a whole list there of scriptures talking about sincerity, sobriety, unselfishness, patience, faithfulness, serving, letting the Holy Spirit work fully in us. You know, one of those little favorite passages of mine is Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Got a little song that goes along with it. Fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If we are letting the Spirit work in us, we will be God's people. We have nothing to fear when Jesus comes back. And we will also be a powerful influence in the lives of the people around us. They will either love us and want what we've got, or they will hate us and despise us for what we have. Jesus told us, get ready for that. You're going to draw a reaction. A reaction of the crowd will prove if they are seeking God or seeking to follow Satan, the ways of the world. Jesus Christ lived, he died, and he conquered the grave so that we would have a Redeemer, a Savior, to take us out of this world. He promised numerous times that he is returning, he's coming again, he wants to take us into the place that he is preparing for us, a brand new, fresh start, perfection. How many of you know what perfection is? I have to put my hand down. We haven't experienced perfection. We live in a world that is influenced by Satan and corruption all around us. In my own life, even as a believer, I still have sin, those battles that struggle with, because Satan is doing all he can to get me to give up, to surrender. Well, Jesus hasn't come back yet. I guess I better just quit. Wrong. Do you have the determination? The determination to press on and serve Jesus no matter what the cost. Our New Testament instructs all people in 50 different passages to watch for Jesus Christ to return. Watch in readiness. Have your clothes, your spiritual clothes on, your spiritual armor on, ready for the return of Jesus. Because guess what? Jesus is coming again. Be ready. Pray with me. Father, help us to be ready, to be alert as a watchman, recognizing the signs that you've given to us in the scripture You've told us that this world is going to sink deeper into sin and corruption. Give us the strength and the stamina to hold on to our faith, to encourage each other, to be bold witnesses for Christ, to face the persecutions that you may be bringing upon us, whatever it may be. Let us stand boldly in the truth of your Scripture and the promise of Jesus that he is coming again. And whether we go to the grave and are waiting there, or we are alive when he comes, let us be found floating into your arms, into the presence of eternity and life with you. Father, if there are any here who have not committed their ways to Jesus, we pray that they would do so, that they would not delay, that they would hunger and thirst to learn more of life in Christ. Help us to share this message with those around us. Guide us, and we thank you for your guidance, your Spirit helping us, your Scriptures of truth. We ask your presence, your blessing as we go from here today, that we would honor you as we live for Jesus. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.